I can't imagine anyone here today who doesn't want the kind of dynamic, satisfying, spirit-filled life our choir has been singing about this morning. I'll tell you, if you have been converted, if you have been forgiven for your committed sins, those things you know are sins, and you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you for those sins, you're a grateful person this morning. But if you haven't gone on from this experience to the second happening, the complete infilling of the Holy Spirit, then this morning, you are a hungry Christian. Hungry to know the Spirit's unlimited power in your life. Hungry to know the peace that comes from a complete surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. Hungry to know an end to the warfare in your soul that results from a continuing clash of wills, your will against God's will. Hungry to know the kind of spiritual power that makes you an effective witness to the saving power of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's really, I guess, the kind of hunger that D.L. Moody knew. This man, who became one of the world's greatest evangelists, set out to do the work of God. He was a Christian and a good one. He had some evangelistic meetings there in a certain city, and he was preaching and exhorting people and inviting them to Jesus Christ. But he was seeing rather meager results for his efforts. One evening after the service, one of his best supporters came up to him and said, "Very good, Mr. Moody, very good. But there is something better, and we are praying for you." Sometime after that, while D.L. Moody was walking down Fifth Avenue in New York City, there came upon him the awareness that God was trying to get a hold of his heart in a way he had not known to that moment. And suddenly, in the midst of that great metropolitan area, he wanted to be alone with God to pray. And so he went to his room, and there he prayed and he dealt with God. And though his sins had been forgiven, there was now this second happening in his life where God the Holy Spirit came and filled him with the fullness of God. It was a sacred hour of surrender. After he went back sometime later to continue his ministry in that campaign, this man who had spoken to him earlier came to him after that service and said, "Ah, Mr. Moody, you have it now." He had a personal experience with the Holy Spirit of God. He knew what it meant to make a full and complete surrender. In fact, we might say he had a personal Pentecost. Now, I'm grateful for everyone here this morning who has had that one divine moment in your life when you've come to Jesus Christ and you've confessed your sins and you know without question that he's living in your heart and life this morning. You share the same kind of experience that the disciples of Jesus Christ enjoyed. He called them out from their various walks of life. They came to him. They confessed him as Lord and Savior. But they too, like D.L. Moody some years later, needed something better. Jesus knew that. He said, "It is expedient for you that I go away." They were all dismayed because Jesus was going to leave them, but he said, "I must leave you. For when I go, God the Father will send the Holy Spirit unto you, and you will know power that you've never known before. He'll lead you into all truth. Everything you need, the Holy Spirit will provide." And on that promised day of Pentecost, when the disciples were gathered in that upper room, and just a few weeks ago, Connie and I were there at what is the supposed site, at least, of that upper room in Jerusalem. And there we stood, and it's reconstructed now, of course, but it is still an upper room. And I stood in that upper room and looked around and envisioned in my mind how it might have been when those disciples, now centuries ago, realizing their tremendous spiritual inadequacies, realizing their gross inability to fulfill the great commission that God had given them, knelt down there for days and days praying for God the Holy Spirit to come and to give them what they lacked. And what they lacked was not an it, but a person, God the Holy Spirit. And when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, there was a tremendous difference in their lives from that day forward. They had a personal Pentecost. But I'm here to tell you this morning, that was not an experience relegated to disciples 2,000 years ago. That is an experience that all of us can enjoy this very day. It's the kind of experience our choir has been singing about this morning. And if there is hunger in your heart for this kind of personal relationship with the Spirit, you can have it. You can have it this morning. We need Pentecost this morning, friends. We need a modern Pentecost. One has said Pentecost is the need of the church today. Ours is a Christianity without force, passion, or effect. A suburban piety, domestic and kindly, but unfit to cope with the actual moral case of the world. Our word is but a lovely song. The people hear but do not fear. They are enchanted but unchanged. We are impotent because although we know the living presence, we have not progressed to Pentecost. If the church would move to Pentecost, nothing could arrest its triumph, and its thousands of unsatisfied souls would have found that something better. Have you this morning found that something better? The choir has sung about it, and that's great, but have you experienced the Holy Spirit as a dynamic, life-changing force in your life? I ask you, isn't it time you let the Holy Spirit run your life completely? Have you discovered the joy of Spirit-filled living? The choir has sung about a beautiful discovery that reveals life at its best is not lived by man's might. It is not lived by man's power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Have you discovered that truth in your life? Are you Spirit-directed? Are you Spirit-led? Are you Spirit-empowered? Has the Holy Spirit completely, without any reservation, possessed your life? He just may be what you're lacking this morning. Oh, do you too often feel defeat in your Christian experience? Do you too often feel a lack of power? Do you feel all too often kind of lost in the crowd? There's no need to. No need to. You're not lost. You've been found. The Holy Spirit knows where you are right now. And he knows what you need. He knows you're lost without him. Will you let him find you and meet your need today? He was a pastor out in the state of California. Busy man, very busy, found the challenges of his congregation really more than he could handle, and as a result, he was able to spend very little time with his family, and he decided he must do something to remedy the situation. He had to find a way to spend some time with his 12-year-old boy. He would soon be gone. They'd had so little time together. So he decided perhaps something they could do together would be to do a little boating. And so he searched around a little bit and finally purchased a 12-foot boat. Now, you wouldn't call it a great yacht, but 12-foot boat, and have a lot of fun with a boat like that. And for one of their first undertakings, after they had experimented with it a little bit and found out how it operated and all, was to take a big adventure and leave the coast of California and go over to Catalina Island. On a clear day, you can see Catalina Island from the coast of California. Of course, kind of hard to find a clear day in California, but on those two or three they have a year out there, they can see Catalina Island. It's not that big a deal, you see, not that big a journey, but it was kind of exciting for them, and they thought they'd take off. He even bought himself a kind of a jaunty yachting cap and wore it at a rather rakish angle. And they set out, totally inexperienced in the ways of the ocean. They took extra gas on board. They thought they'd made every necessary provision. I mean, after all, you have the coast of California here, you have Catalina Island out there, and you can see where you're going, and you know what could happen in a situation like that. They'd gone for some time, and it didn't seem that Catalina Island was getting much closer. A little longer trip than they bargained for. And after they'd been underway for some time, he wasn't sure, but he thought he began to feel a mist passing his face, and it looked to him like the clouds were awfully low there on the water. And suddenly began to dawn on him that a fog was moving in. And the sun that had been so brilliant when they'd left that day was rapidly disappearing, just a bright spot in the sky. And as the fog moved in, it wasn't long before he could no longer see Catalina Island. And to his dismay, when he turned about, neither could he any longer see the coast of California. He thought, well, there's only one thing to do. That's just keep going in the direction we think it is. And on they went. And the fog got thicker. And after they'd used the auxiliary gas tanks, he had to admit to his son, they were out of gas. They were in the Pacific Ocean. They had no compass. And what he refused to admit was the fact they were lost. Time went on. The sky darkened as night began to fall. And the fog lessened hardly at all. He said the waves, though I'm sure they weren't, seemed to be at least 10 feet high out there that evening. Said we took the flashlight we had along, and we flashed three dots, three dashes, three dots, SOS, trying, hoping that someone would see us. We hollered and screamed through the fog for help, but no one heard us. No avail. They were lost. Lost at sea. Finally, through the haze, they saw the lights of a fleet of 10 ships with their little lights burning holes in the fog. They flashed the light again. They screamed and hollered as these 10 apparently great ships were heading out to sea. But one by one, they watched them pass, apparently unaware of their plight. But as the 10th ship was going by, suddenly it began to turn and headed their direction. They screamed and hollered and waved their arms and flashed their flashlight. And the great ship came ever near. When it finally arrived as close to them as it could with any degree of safety, he said it appeared to him that great ship was at least 1,000 feet long and 10 stories high. A great warship from the fleet of the United States of America. The fog lifting now, he could see the captain of that great ship come to the bridge with gold braid on his cap. And he put the electronic megaphone to his mouth and hollered down to their little ship below. What's wrong down there? And suddenly he said, I didn't want to admit what was wrong. He said it was such a simple little task to get from the coast of California out to Catalina Island. And here I was, out of fuel, lost. Here's the great captain of a great ship who sails the seas of the world? What's wrong down there? Well, finally, he screwed up his courage because of the desperation of his situation. And he said, "We're lost." And oh, he said, it felt so good just to admit it, just to be honest about it, just to volunteer the information. "We're lost, Captain. We need help. We're out of fuel." Said it didn't take the captain a moment to start barking command. A small ship was lowered over the side. Willing hands were soon alongside with additional fuel. And the captain's message: "Fill up your tanks. Get all the fuel you need. And then follow us. We'll take you to Catalina Island." "Now," he said, "because we're so much higher up here in the bridge, we'll see it long before you do. Our perspective is so much better. But when we see it, we'll signal. And the Coast Guard will come out and escort you in to the harbor." And so the preparations were made. The great ship turned. And they started, the great ship of war, the little 12-foot boat, putting along behind. And they headed on toward Catalina Island. The captain was as good as his word. Soon there was a blast from that mighty whistle. And Coast Guard cutters were soon alongside to escort that little craft safely into the harbor. The 12-year-old said, "Boy, Dad, this is great. Can we do this again sometime?" But I'll tell you this morning, on this first Sunday of a new church year, the situation that this pastor encountered out in the Pacific Ocean is not unlike the condition that we face in our lives. We start out so bravely, saying, "Surely it's not all that difficult to get from the cradle to the grave. Surely I can make this journey called life. With my own resources on board, I don't need direction from anybody else. All you have to do is get from here to there." But if we've traveled very far, we've already learned that the fog soon starts to set in. And that which seems so clear at the outset is now murky and lost in the fog. And the waves of life beat upon our little ship until it appears to us we're all but lost. And then we remember some Sunday school teacher, some mom, some dad, some pastor, some evangelist, someone along the road has said, "Friend, listen, why don't you call on God for help?" And we send out our SOS. And before the signal is any more than out, admitting our need, admitting that we're lost without the Spirit of God, we look and the great ship of Zion is steaming our way. And the Holy Spirit is on the bridge of that ship and he hollers out, "What's wrong?" And if we'll only admit, we are lost without the Spirit's power in our lives. We're defeated. We're lost and wandering, powerless and ineffective. If we'll only admit our need, the Holy Spirit will say, "Son, daughter, haven't you ever read in the Word that God the Father is far more anxious to give us the Holy Spirit than we are even to receive him? If you'll let me give you my resources, if you'll let me give you my leadership, I'll guide you all the way into the heavenly harbor where angels will await your coming and guide you safely home." How about you this morning, friend? Will you admit your need? Will you admit you need the Holy Spirit to successfully complete your great journey of life? I assure you it won't be by man's might. It won't be by man's power. But it will be by my Spirit.
Will you stand with me? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I just feel on the first Sunday of a new church year, a new college year, it's time for us to appropriate the resources of God. The great ship of faith is close by this morning. The Holy Spirit is on the bridge, and he's looking down at us. He says, are you tired of wandering? Would you like to have spirit control instead of self-control? If you'll just tell him what you need, he'll give you what you need. I don't know what you need, but he does. And in the closing moments of this service, I would like for all of us to sing this little chorus, "Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee." Whether we're a Sunday school teacher, a board member, a bus worker, a caravan worker, working in the various outreach ministries, staff member, whatever our role might be this morning, I'll tell you this. We need the Holy Spirit. It's the only way we'll ever get the job done. We need the Holy Spirit. You need him to get through a year of school triumphantly and victoriously. You need him to teach a year of school triumphantly, victoriously. There isn't a person here this morning that doesn't need the Holy Spirit. I'd like us to sing and tell him about that. And oh, I know we have a great crowd here this morning, and we are anxious to move on to the other events of the day. I know that. But if there is one here today with a special spiritual need and you'd like to come and pray about it, I assure you someone will stay and pray with you. We're here to help you. Dear Lord, guide us in these closing moments. Meet us at the point of our need. We do need you. We need the Holy Spirit in his fullness. We don't want to settle for anything less. We want that something better in our lives. Help us now to be obedient unto you and to let you examine our hearts with your divine searchlight of truth, to point out areas of need, that we might be able to let you supply these needs. In thy name we pray. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus together now, all of us asking for God to help us as we remain with heads bowed and eyes closed. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee.